This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this nice Saturday morning, we join Tim Mize and Terry Dipp.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday here in February. What's that?
I said I must have missed something.
You did, but that'll be on the director's cut release.
Okay.
Yes. 2 weeks exactly from today, right. Cardinal baseball on AM 1540 and FM 106.9.
Well, spring training starts Tuesday, right?
Yeah. First broadcast 2 weeks from today.
World Baseball Classics this year, so it's bumped up a couple weeks.
Very exciting. And we've had spring-like baseball type of weather here the last
We will be wishing
days.
For this weather in April.
Yeah.
Because it will be absolutely miserable.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah.
You ain't wrong.
I mean, it's just,
how about the weather we had this week? It was like 60 degrees, and it was snowing and freezing,
yes.
And then it back to 60 degrees.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Was it Monday night? Went to Bethany, Hud and I, and we were operating on instruments only. No visual. I mean, we're just scanning for anything ahead.
You
talk about being in a fog. I'm in a fog a lot of times, but I was really in a fog.
Trust that we're still on the road.
Yeah. Is that a road?
That
used to be a fence road.
We got off the road several miles back. We're at a cow pasture now.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a fun week across Mid-Illinois in terms of regional basketball tournament play. And congratulations to the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers, champions of the Auburn Regional. And Terry, you saw them over at Auburn. And that was a tough draw for the Toppers, having to go through Auburn on the Trojans' home floor.
Yeah, that was not going to be an easy ball game. And, of course, Hillsboro met Auburn in the Christmas tournament and won by a point. And so there was, you know, some concern about, basically that game was a 50-50 toss-up. But Hillsboro came out and played well. I thought their bench played extremely well. Got some points off the bench, got some extra minutes off the bench. You know, and that's so important once you get into the postseason to be able to have some depth. Because basically, if you're going 100% and you're playing 32 minutes, by the end of the 32 minutes, you're dragging. Hillsboro did what they needed to do. So.
And Sammy Matouche did what she's done the entirety of her career.
Well, we had 30-point performances on back-to-back nights. The first night, Nokomis, the gal from Ocala Valley, Paige Robinson, hit a three-pointer with 2 seconds left in the game from deep in the left corner to win it for Ocala Valley, and she finished with 30 points. And the next night, Sammy Matouche puts 30 in for the Toppers as the Toppers beat Auburn in the regional championship. So we've seen some pretty outstanding performances this week and some interesting basketball. So
Hillsboro's on to the Waverly Sectional. They will get a rematch of their sectional opponent from last year, Camp Point Central. That's a ball game that went down to the wire. Hillsboro got robbed a little bit with a questionable call at the end, but at the end of the day, they had a chance to force overtime, couldn't get it done. But you know the Toppers licking their chops to get another chance at Camp Point Central.
That's the thing that I kind of noticed. I think the Toppers may have a little chip on their shoulder, you know, kind of remembering what happened last year. They weren't playing very well about two-thirds of the way through the season, kind of righted the ship there at the end. This is a tough sectional at Waverly. I mean, you've got Camp Point Central, as the Toppers get on Monday night, and then in a second semifinal on Tuesday, you got Tri-City and Carthage Illini West.
Hello.
Are you kidding me? In the sectionals? Man, you know, this is almost like a state tournament quarterfinal. So that's a tough sectional. So whoever comes out of there, I think, would stand a very good chance of, you know, making some noise in perhaps a state tournament. So
yeah, we'll get into it a little later in the show. But that sectional in 2A at Waverly, and then the 1A sectional at Calhoun, where every team in the Calhoun 1A sectional is state ranked. You got the top ranked team in the state in Lebanon, the defending state champions in Calhoun,
and those are the two teams that meet on Tuesday night, and then on Monday you got West Central and Oakville. So oh my gosh,
loaded up.
Yeah, you know, and again that corridor across the central part of the state for girls basketball bears out that, you know, we have some really terrific girls basketball teams across the central part of the state. So.
And this isn't a new phenomenon for our listening area to have loaded up, and since we've gone to subsectionals, loaded up regionals, certainly loaded up sectionals. Mount Olive fell victim to that fate. Yeah, they had a great year. They were state ranked, but So were a lot of other teams around the area in terms of, you know, you got Lebanon, obviously number one all year. We know about Oakville, West Central, all these different squads. So for Mount Olive, congratulations on a great year, but we always talk about it.
Yeah.
What's the draw?
Yeah.
The draw is so important in the postseason, and the draw was not on the side of the Wildcats.
You know, we always talk about, you know, you got to have the great athletes, you got to have the good coaches, you got to be able to be lucky and stay healthy, and then it's the draw for the postseason. And you know, this is how much, and I think it's pointed out so much more during the NCAA basketball tournament, because there's always cussing and discussing that's going on. Why did this team get this seed? Why did this team get left out? So forth and so on. But we're seeing it, I think, more now with the subsectional setup in high school basketball about it being the draw. And you know, whether you like the neighborhood regionals, which I do, I did like them, but I can see where you're getting the better teams now to the sectional tournaments, and that's really what you want for a good tournament.
And a lot of times, it seems to me for boys basketball, there's more of more power the further north you go.
Yeah.
Girls basketball, you get the further south you go, there is a high concentration of elite girls basketball played on that Route 16 corridor that you always talk about. And I mean, this year just really summed it up. You think about the year that Mount Olive had, not even able to get out of the regional because they run into a powerful state-ranked Oakville squad.
Sure, that was, you know, they were in probably one of the toughest regional tournaments in the state. They really were, and it's just the draw.
But there was no way for them to get around that, you know, because they were either going to be in the regional they were in or in the regional with Lebanon.
Here's the deal. When they went to four classes, all right, that changed the geography of things a little bit. And when you go from a two-class to a four-class system, sometimes with the old two-class system, teams got shifted to different spots, you know, minor adjustments from time to time. Pretty much what you see is what you get every year.
There's only so many places
you can go. There's only so many places you can go, so many teams in a given area, and you're probably going to be stuck with them, you know, time and time again, which leads me back to, well, that's kind of almost a neighborhood regional again. So, in a way, yeah. But the subsectional setup does work. I think you do get the better teams advancing on deeper into the tournament.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. And the sectionals this year prove that the subsectional process is working, because when you look at some of the sectional tournaments that we have this coming week for 1A and 2A girls, we talked about off the air, and some, they're like mini state tournaments.
They really are. And you know, this is where what you've done during the season and the competition you've played during the season pays off. You know, the toughness of the schedule, it's not the number of wins, it's the toughness of the schedule. And I was thinking last night on the way home from the ball game, would there be a better way of doing a seeding process for basketball teams for the postseason? Would you go to maybe something like playoff points like football does? And I thought, well, I don't know that would really be an accurate indicator for basketball.
Football's so different,
because it's just the number of games that are played. I think it's probably basketball is probably about as good as you can get it as far as seeding processes are concerned.
Me personally, I think these coaches do. We see it at the in-season tournaments as well. I think these coaches do such a great job of seeding these teams that it seems to work out pretty well, to where you're not really seeing massive upsets. Like, you look at the seeding wise, no one can quibble on the 2A Waverly sectional.
Right.
They seeded those teams perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, Tri-City clearly the one in that subsectional. How are you going to argue with Hillsboro 2, Auburn 3? I mean, they got it right. Look at that 1A sectional. I mean, Lebanon's been ranked number one all year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's easy. You looked at the way the seedings worked out. I think the coaches did a great job of getting these teams seeded properly. A lot more reliable than the state rankings, to where when you're ranking for state, you're ranking teams you haven't seen. Whereas, for the most part, these coaches, they scout teams throughout the year.
Sure.
And so they have a pretty good feel for what the teams are by the time we get to
the
end of the year.
Ability now to see teams more often with the video that's available, the scouting that's available. So it's not just a guess anymore. I think there's an actual education process that's involved in seeding these teams, so they get it right. So, you know, there are some minor exceptions perhaps, but for the most part, it seems that things have fallen into place.
And you're talking about strength of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hillsboro is a perfect example of that. this year. I think they've got 7 losses on the year right now. But if you look at the teams that they lost to, the schedule that they played, that allowed them to have that little lull late in the year, knowing that they had prepared themselves schedule-wise for the postseason, and then they come out, and really they probably played one of their better games of the year in that regional final.
Yes, they did. I thought, you know, they looked like the Hillsborough that I was expecting all year. They looked comfortable. As I mentioned, they kind of had a little chip on their shoulder or whatever, like, hey, we belong here. This should be our game. They played very well. And let me tell you, Auburn's a heck of a team. This Catrell Clark, my goodness, she's only a junior. She had, 26 points on the night and very athletic and very quick with her first step not an easy thing to do on Auburn's home floor. So good win for the Toppers.
Tri-City, we had an interview with them after the ballgame, which didn't get aired, but that's neither here nor there. But I asked the girls if that loss at the end of the regular year to Athens was a good thing, and they thought that it was. They were starting to feel the pressure of the undefeated season starting to weigh on them. The loss allowed them to refocus, get ready for the bigger goal at hand, and they come out and take care of business in the regional.
And if you don't think that plays into it, you look back through the great history of Illinois basketball. There are very few undefeated teams that win a state championship. There are a lot of teams that have 1 loss, 2 losses, maybe even 5 losses. You know, that's no big deal. You learn from those losses. And if you go into the postseason with a goose egg in the loss column, you end up playing not to lose instead of playing to win. And it's a very fine line between the two. But you're generally a little more aggressive playing to win than you are playing not to lose. And sometimes that little bit of aggressiveness or a little bit of extra effort is what determines a ball game.
And I thought Tri-City in that Crownville Regional, they had so much pressure on them in that regional tournament because they were clearly the best team in that regional. And the year that they had, if they would have not gotten out of the regional, in a lot of people's eyes, the season would have been unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. But once you win a regional tournament, everything else is gravy. At that point, you can just relax and go out and play basketball.
And I don't care how many years you've played basketball, how many years we've watched basketball. It's hard to win a regional tournament. It is because, you know, it's one and done. If you don't have your stuff together, your act together that night, it's on to spring sports. You're done. So there's some additional pressure once you get into the postseason. Survive in advance is what it's all about. And you have to bring your A game every night. And if you don't have your A game, maybe your B plus game is good enough, but you go anything below B plus, you're probably out of the tournament.
Of course, we had a sad moment at that Crownville Regional this past week. The great Amanda Schmidt blew her knee out in their game against Carlinville, and the initial reports are torn ACL, torn meniscus in the left knee for Amanda, and it was an awful sight, Terry. I mean, when you've been around high school sports as long as you have, and I've been around it long enough.
Seen it there.
You've seen it. Yeah. The scream, it's always the same. Everybody in the gym knew, unfortunately, what the end result was going to be. You always hate to see injuries, no matter the circumstance. But for a kid like Amanda Schmidt, in her senior year, had such a great career, to get hurt in her final basketball game, that's terrible. But the worst part is track. She's such a great track athlete, and now her senior year of track is lost.
Yeah. And she provided so much leadership for that Gillespie team and was really a settling force for them most of the year. It's just too bad. But injuries are part of the game. Injuries are part of life. And we wish a speedy recovery. And she will bounce back. And
They
can fix knees, and she'll be as good as new. And, boy, it's been a pleasure watching her play over the years. And she's played a ton of varsity basketball and has been very valuable to that minors program. And good kid.
Oh, yeah, great kid. Yeah. Just too bad she will not be able to play her senior year of track.
But, boy, Tim, we've all been broadcasting when we see stuff like that, and there's just this thing that happens in your gut, and you're going, it hurts even the broadcasters to see that happen.
Yeah, it's just a terrible sight.
Yeah, it is. And it's the hearing that pop.
Apparently she heard it.
She heard it.
She heard it, so we wish her the best in the recovery process.
Yes. So, that's one of those things. It just happens. It's part of life. So we regroup and move on.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do. That's what life, you know, that's part of athletics. Athletics, you know, not everything's going to happen perfectly according to Hoyle. And athletics is just one of those, classrooms basically to help you deal with things that, don't go perfectly, according to your plan. So.
If it was predictable, nobody would watch.
There you go. That's right. You know, they talk about reality TV and reality this, that, and the other. The best reality stuff going, high school sports.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, the minute you think you do, you're going to get thrown a curveball and look foolish.
There you go.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
9:22 on this Saturday morning, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote on Sports Saturday.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. As we're going to switch now to boys basketball, we'll get to the regional pairings in a moment. First things first, though, some scores from last night. Games heard here on FM 106. Carthenville beat Litchfield 59-57, and Nokomis took care of Hillsboro 62-46. Other games around the area, Lincolnwood hammered Calvary 52-31. Lutheran took care of Mount Olive 65-55. North Mac beat Moreau Forsyth 57-36. Breeze Central all over Greenville last night 77-34. Wood River won over Bunker Hill 55-49. Southwestern beat Vandy 53-46. Porta over Auburn 56-43. Williamsville beat Pawnee 45-38. And South County over Mulberry Grove 46-41. And, of course, boys regionals will start, what, 2 weeks?
President's Day, the 20th.
Okay.
20th of February.
And our pairings are out.
Pairings are out. They were released yesterday in Class 1A, the Bethany-Ocal Valley Regional. Gosh, we were just
deja
there
vu?
For girls. It's deja vu all over again. But this time, wait, it's not going to be in Bethany. It's going to be in Findlay. They're going to hold the regional tournament at Findlay since this is the 25th anniversary of Findlay winning the state basketball championship. So Patoka got the top seed in that part of the bracket. And just thought I'd mention the fact that, you know, on their 25th anniversary, they get to host a regional tournament. In that sectional complex, Nokomis. Nokomis got the number 2 seed in their sectional complex behind Effingham St. Anthony. St. Anthony will play at Louisville North Clay. Nokomis will go to Altamont, where they will be the higher seed, and they will have a Wednesday evening game against the winner of Beecher City and South Central. And the other two games will have Altamont taking on Ramsey, St. Elmo Brownstown against Mulberry Grove. And those two winners will meet in the second semifinal on Wednesday. So Nokomis, the overall number 2 seed. And it looks like Nokomis may end up playing Altamont on Altamont's floor.
They've been there before.
That's been there, been one of those been there, done that kind of things, yeah. Mount Olive is hosting a regional this year. The Wildcats got a number 7 seed. The top seed in that Mount Olive regional is Metro East Lutheran, and they will get the winner of the Mount Olive McGivney game on Monday night, and that'll be a Tuesday game. Then Wednesday, Bunker Hill will take on Madison at Mount Olive.
And Metro East probably going to be a load in 1A. They've played basically a 2A schedule
this
year.
They played a 2A and 3A schedule. Yes, they have. At Pawnee, Lincolnwood got a number 5 seed. They will take on Calvary Academy, the team that they beat last night. They will play a Tuesday game at 7:30. The opening game on Monday has Franklin South County against Springfield Lutheran. The winner there will get New Berlin on Wednesday night, and then the winner of the Pawnee-Jacksonville ISD game will take on the winner of the Lincolnwood-Calvary game on Wednesday evening at 7:30. And, of course, all the boys' championship games on Friday night. So that's 1A. That's how that stacks up around the area. In Class 2A, boys' regional tournament play. Let me get to my spot here.
Carlinville's got a regional.
Carlinville has a regional. Hillsboro has a regional. That's where the majority of our local teams are going to be. At Hillsboro, Carlisle got the overall number 1 seed in that subsectional, and they are at Hillsboro, and they'll get the winner of the Greenville-Hillsboro game, which is set for Monday evening at 6. Game 2 on that Monday evening will have Vandalia taking on Litchfield in a 5-9 matchup. Westglen got the number 4 seed, so they will get the winner of the Vandalia-Litchfield game. So it'll be 2 games on Monday, 2 games on Wednesday, championship on Friday at Hillsboro. Then at Carlinville, Nashville got the higher seed. At Carlinville, the number 2 seed overall. Nashville will get the winner of Monday's game between Carlinville and Staunton. That'll be the first game on Wednesday. And then Southwestern takes on Gillespie in the second game on Wednesday and the Friday championship game. Let's see, North Mac High School. North Mac, let's see if I can find them real quick here. They go to Riverton. The Panthers will play a Monday night game against Auburn. Mm-hmm. Auburn, North Mac. There's a rivalry for you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, 6 o'clock on Monday evening. The second game will have Williamsville against Riverton. The winner of the Auburn-North Mac game on Monday will get second-seeded Pittsfield on Wednesday. And then the Williamsville-Riverton winner will get, Warsaw in the second game on Wednesday evening. So that's at Riverton. So those are the basic outlines of where our teams are going and how they're going to stack up. And I don't know at this point. We're just ready to toss the ball and let's see what happens, you know.
No, that's exactly right. And, I mean, you look at the teams that are the top seeds coming to our area regionals and, Carlisle and Nashville. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, they're traditionally good and traditionally very tough defensively. We'll see how our local teams stack up against them. Hopefully they will be able to do so and provide some competition. By the way, Nokomis is hosting a sectional. So the winner from Louisville, North Clay, and Altamont, and Bethany, Ocaw Valley, and Dietrich will feed into the Nokomis sectional. So,
and it's familiar in terms of postseason sites, familiar locations for Nokomis. They've had
Altamont
seasons
before.
In a good way mm-hmm. when they've had this path.
Well, that's history does prove that out, yes.
You know, Nokomis is so interesting this year, too, because a year ago, it was basically the Reed Detmer show for Nokomis. You know, a lot of standing around, let Reed take care of it. And you said it before the start of the year that you thought Nokomis, nothing against Reed, sensational athlete, but you thought Nokomis as a team was going to be better off without him because they would be more of a team. And my goodness, is that so correct? They have gotten back to vintage Nokomis.
Not that they're necessarily a better team, but a different team because they just waited for Reed to do his thing. Camden Ransdell, who we thought was out for the year, got back into the lineup last night. What a game he had. 24 points. He was 10 of 13 from the field, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. He's back, and boy, what a spark he was for Nokomis last night. And, you know, you get him back, heading into the postseason, and, you know, you like Nokomis' chances.
Well, certainly with the Sabo boys on the inside. I mean, at the 1A level, to have that type of interior play, that is a huge asset.
Nokomis did a great job of passing the ball last night. There were some passes, you know, between the Sobble boys and stuff that you hadn't seen earlier this year. So they're moving the ball very well. And Ransdell just makes a heck of a difference when he's in there. So, watch out.
And, you know, a lot like Metro East, Nokomis plays such a heavy 2A, 3A schedule to start the year that by the time they get to their 1A opponents after the new year starts, like a whole different team. And we talked about it in the first segment in terms of the girls' basketball. Scheduling is so important.
It is.
It's so important. I mean, at the end of the day, who cares if you have 25, 27, 28 wins? It doesn't matter if you are beaten up on lesser competition. Yeah. If the end goal is to make a deep run in the postseason, you've got to toughen up the schedule. And at the end of the day, you look at the teams that advance on. Look at the Hillsborough girls' schedule. Tough. Look at the Nokomis boys' schedule and where they're going to wind up in the postseason. That's always the common denominator for the teams that advance deep in the postseason. Who did you play in the regular
year? Look
at
the Nokomis girls' schedule. They had one senior this year. You know, they play a very tough schedule, and they've got virtually everybody coming back. So, the Hilltopper girls, the Taylorville tournament, the Highland tournament, the Riverton tournament at Christmas, that's what prepares you for postseason. That's what gets you ready to go deep into the postseason. So,
no doubt about it.
Take your lumps during the year because you want to learn things. You want to be able to adapt. You want to be able to improve on things. And, you know, you can't be afraid of competing. So you just throw the ball out there and let's go have a game.
If you don't take your lumps in regular season games that really don't matter that much, what are you going to do when you face that adversity in the single elimination postseason? And you will. It's inevitable.
How many times have we talked over the years, Tim, that a team that makes it to state, you know, makes it to the Final Four, somewhere along the way, there's one game they get away with.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's one game that they should win. they probably, or one game they probably should have lost, but they were able to get a break, maybe get a couple of free throws, whatever, and they come away with a 2-point win, and then they blow out everybody the rest of the way. There's always that one game that you face adversity.
Absolutely. They're, you know, your best player who's been there all year, maybe all of a sudden they get in foul trouble.
Three fouls in the first half, you know, and you're going, oh my gosh, what do we do now?
Got to overcome it.
Yeah.
And tough schedules in the regular year allow you to overcome those things.
One of the things for the Hilltopper girls team, the bench. I mean, Teak is able to go to the bench and bring in people, a lot of different people who give a lot of different time, different skill sets, a lot of situational substitution for the Toppers, and it really, you know, works to their advantage.
Very rarely will you see a team, forget the state tournament, at the super sectional level, very rarely will you encounter a team that doesn't have a bench.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to go 8, 9.
If you don't go at least 8 deep, you're probably not gonna go very far. But, Toppers can go at, 8, 9, 10 deep, and they can bring in, and, different people can shoot, different people can, and do a great defensive job, and of course, Matouche running the point.
That helps.
That helps a lot, yeah. So
she's so good. Goodness, she's so good.
It's such a pleasure to watch, and it's not just the Sammy Matouches. It's everybody. It's an honor to be able to broadcast these games and watch these young athletes compete. It really is. It's a lot of fun for us. We have a blast doing it. But just to see them out there representing their school and representing their communities, it's a fun thing to see.
And we've been lucky here the last 4 years. Abby Brockmeyer lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
Sammy Matouche living up to the hype. And that's a hard thing to do, but they're both doing it.
And speaking of Abby Brockmeyer and the Lady Panthers of Litchfield, they will be playing their first regional game this Wednesday night at Taylorville. They will get the winner of Monday's Clinton versus Lincoln game, and that'll be a 7:30 game on Wednesday night from Taylorville. We'll have that for you live on FM 106.1. And I like Litchfield's chances in that region. I'm going to be honest with you. I think there's...
Hey, they're going to have the best player on the floor. And when you've got the best player on the floor on your team, you got yourself a chance.
Yeah, so we're going to have some fun.
Going to be some fun. Going to be a fun week of basketball.
Going to be a fun
week
of basketball.
Yes, it is.
A really fun week of basketball.
We're going to get to a break here. On the other side, we will hopefully catch up with Lady Topper head coach Brett Teakin following these messages on Sports Saturday.
9:36 on this Saturday morning, back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins, back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Full week and coming week of high school postseason. Of course, we've been focusing a lot on the basketball, but wrestling postseason has also been going on. And once again, we've got some local qualifiers.
Yes, Vandalia is hosting the 1A sectional. Started yesterday afternoon, continues today with Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, Mount Olive, and Auburn. And we'll see how that all shakes out, and I suspect we will have several going to state. So
that would be the norm.
That would be the norm around here, yes, yes. Vandalia, of course, a very good wrestling school as well. So, I think Litchfield had like 10 kids and Hillsborough 6. They're doing their thing today. So
good luck to them.
Good luck to them, absolutely, absolutely. That's... you talk about intensity in wrestling. It's a short spurt, and man, you gotta go all out for 3 minutes.
Bring it.
Man, that's too much like work.
I don't like the sound of that.
I don't like the sound of that. Wow.
Work. What?
I sit on my butt all day,
The Toppers went to work last week at the Auburn Regionals. They had to overcome the host Trojans in that regional championship game. They got it done. Joining us on the phone right now is Hillsborough head coach Brett Teakin. And Teak, regional champs, that's become an old hat for the Toppers.
Oh, I don't know about old hat, but we'll take it.
Never gets old. Never gets old.
Never gets old. No, that's for sure.
Teak, talk about the satisfaction that you and your girls had in that locker room winning that regional after you had some ups and some downs late in that regular season, but you guys played great basketball in that regional final.
Yeah, we talked about going into regionals that it's a long season and you're going to have some ups and downs, but we can really kind of turn that around with a nice stretch right now and put things together. And everybody in the locker room knew that we were capable of it. It's just going out and executing and do the things we need to do and stay focused for 32 minutes. And We were able to do that on Thursday. Tuesday and Thursday.
Tuesday and Thursday, that's right. The two things that Toppers have going for them, number one, you've got a bench that you can go to and you use frequently. And the Toppers shoot free throws pretty well. Two areas of the game that, you know, once you get into the postseason, pay dividends.
Yeah, and that's something we've talked about from the beginning is we have about 9 or 10 players that we can really go to, and their skill sets are a little bit different here and there. Some do some things a little bit better, and others do others a little better. And depending on the game situation, we rotate people in and keep people fresh.
Teek, obviously Sammy Matouche gets a lot of the attention for you guys, but talk about Matty Miller, Denzel Moore as seniors, what they do for your club.
Denzel, she does a lot. She's probably the best passer on the team. Also, she's the second leading scorer. She can defend in the post. She can defend on the perimeter. She can help us bring the ball up the floor if need be. So she's just all around nice player to have on the floor at 5'10", 5'11". She can do a lot of things for us. Maddie this year, she kind of stepped in and became our primary post player with Carly's graduation. And at times, she struggled a little bit here and there, but about the last week and a half, 2 weeks, she hasn't been scoring a ton, but she's been rebounding. She's been playing defense well and really, really stepped up a lot in the last couple weeks here.
Denzel's one of those players that her nose is right in the middle of everything all the time.
Yeah, she is. She finds a way to be involved in one way or another.
Teek, we've been talking about regular season scheduling, how important it is when you want to advance into the postseason. And just from your perspective as a Topper head coach, talk about what you look for. You know, you go to the Highland tournament in season, obviously a great tournament. What are the things you're looking for from in-season opponents that get you ready for these regular or these postseason moments?
Well, one thing I like to do is whenever we go to tournaments, I like to go to a tournament where we're going to play teams that we don't see all that often. And that way you have to prepare. You don't become so familiar with an opponent. You just know, well, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to do this. You have to go and you have to prepare to just play your game, and regardless of who the opponent is from day to day, you just have to be prepared to execute and do things right and not just, well, I know they're going to do this, I know they're going to do that, so let's just stop that.
So then from your perspective as a coach now, when you get into a sectional, I would imagine scouting-wise, you're kind of in a regular season mode like you would be when you're at the Highland Tournament.
Yeah, we're focusing on, I mean, we've got a little scouting report and some game film and stuff that I'm taking a look at this morning and kind of game planning a little bit more than maybe we would during a regular season. But still really the focus has got to be on us going and doing the things that we do well and focusing on ourselves and not just throwing so much focus on the other team.
Now you did play Camp Point Central in this game a year ago. As you're in your early preparation phases, are they the same type of club they were a year ago, or have they changed?
They're pretty similar. They're full court, man-to-man, trapping, run-and-jump type of defense. They're quick. They've got most of the same players. They are missing their 6-foot post player from last year that gave us a lot of problems and stuff. But other than her, they're pretty much the same team.
Do you feel that you guys, where you're at in terms of your play, are you where you want to be?
Yeah, I was real pleased with our not just effort but our execution on Thursday night. And if practices and things carry over, we've been really shooting the ball well in practice, and we've been focused and where we need to be. So if this is any indication, I think we'll be ready Monday night.
Sounds good. Teek, congratulations on the regional championship. Best of luck on Monday night.
All right, thank you.
All right, Brett Teek, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers. They'll take on Camp Point Central. Live coverage for you Monday night here on FM 106, 7 o'clock tip at Waverly. And, of course, with the smaller gymnasium at Waverly, they'll have sectional semifinal number one Monday,
yeah.
Sectional semifinal number two on Tuesday, championship on Thursday. So it'll be a packed house all three nights at Waverly.
If you want to get a seat, you better be there early.
Get there on Sunday?
Well, that would be early. I don't know what the weather forecast is going to be, but I don't think camping out this time of year is probably such a good idea. But, yeah, get there plenty early if you want to get a good seat, because Waverly is a smaller gym. Yeah.
Cool. I always like it when you got two quality teams like Hillsborough and Camp Point Central are, when you get a rematch in the same postseason round the very next year. I just love that.
And I mentioned earlier, I think Hillsborough's kind of got a little chip on their shoulder remembering from last year and you know, have something to prove. And we'll see how it shakes out on Monday night at 7 o'clock.
That was a great game last year.
Oh, it was, you know, it's you get to this level. And in the sectional level of play is terrific usually because you know that now that with the subsectionals like they are, you generally get the four best teams feeding in and you generally have good games. So
I thought last year the Hillsborough could have got past Camp Point that they would have gone all the way to state because Camp Point Central ended up going to state. I thought last year that was the case. This year, I'm not sure about that because this sectional is so powerful. Winning the game on Monday, that'll be great. But then you've got a heck of a club, no matter if it's Tri-City or Carthage Illini West, waiting for you on Thursday night.
Yeah, the road has a few pebbles in it,
does.
Put it that way. And you have to avoid the potholes and the pebbles. And if you win the sectional, you will have earned the right to go to a super.
Absolutely.
Because this is one of the toughest ones in the state in 2A.
Big time.
So, 7 o'clock Monday night on FM 106.1.
We'll stream it as well at WSMIRadio.com. And then we'll have the Litchfield 3A regional game for you Wednesday night. Live coverage about 7:30 here on FM 106. And then boys games sprinkled in for you next week as well. And hopefully, we'll have sectional championship basketball Thursday and regional championship basketball on Friday.
Yes.
We hope.
That's what we're hoping
for.
Yeah.
We need a break. We'll come back with more in a moment.
9:48, and now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and happy to have Terry back with us this week. He was recovering last week from a procedure.
Yes, a little arthroscopic surgery on the knee, and went well Friday morning, came back to work Monday, and had a checkup yesterday, and everything's looking good and feeling good, and the knee's not going to lock up on me. And
awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
We had Steve Johnson in studio last week from the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum, talking about the new class of inductees, a little guy named J.C. Nissenhausen. You may have heard of him.
Yeah.
Kurt Reeder's going.
Saw him when he was in high school.
You sure did.
Yeah, they finished fourth in the state that year.
That's right. And you'll be going in the same class as Izzy is, as part of the broadcasting wing. And I told Steve last week, and you basically confirmed it for me off the air, your response is, I don't belong in there. But you do, Terry.
Yeah.
You absolutely do. That's the beauty of you, is you always undersell your contributions and what you've done around the area over your basically four decades of broadcasting here at WSMI, and
but
that'll
Tim,
be a great honor for
and,
you.
And I tell you,
you deserve it.
I appreciate
you absolutely
that.
Deserve it.
I appreciate that, but if I'd had the influence I wanted, we would have had a penalty hole, you know. just to add excitement to the game,
hole.
You know?
That's exactly right. Well, they should really, I meant to tell Steve this last week, but they should really build some sort of penalty hole in the museum
there
itself.
There you go.
That's
from,
what they
from
need.
From the National Stickball League in my backyard, that's
yes.
right. And the penalty hole was where an old clothesline post used to sit, and they pulled it out, and so we had a hole. So
and if people aren't familiar with the penalty hole, if you hit it in the penalty hole, automatic side-out innings
I was the only one in the history of the National Stickball League to hit it into the penalty hole. First pitch of an inning, three outs. One pitch, back out, to pitch. There you go. Leave it to me.
But they're going to have a ceremony coming up in early September for the inductees, and that'll be a great honor for you.
It is quite an honor, especially with Izzy and having been able to see Izzy play as a high schooler. Gary Gaetti, who was a Lakeland grad, that's very, very kind of them to include me in there. So I appreciate that.
You'll have fun.
It'll be, I think it's September, early in September.
Yeah, early, like 9th maybe?
Something like that.
Early September,
So. Hope you get a chance to attend if you're interested in baseball. Tell you what, if you've never been to the BRS Museum in Nokomis, you really ought to go. You really ought to go. And, you know, if they ever get a chance, they should, do a little more expansion. And not that this is a critique. I'm just throwing this out as a suggestion. softball. You know, some more emphasis on softball. Not only girls high school softball, but, you know, the men's fast pitch leagues around here used to be really dominant. And that was a lot of fun to watch them back in the day. So,
men's fast pitch softball, highly entertaining.
Oh, man. You know, a 200 batting average is tops.
Oh, yeah.
And then you talk about competitive. Mm. Wow.
Yes. They didn't mess around.
They did not mess around.
Beer league softball, it was not.
No. This is the real deal.
Yeah.
This was the real deal. So, but if you've never been to the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum in Okemos, gosh, you need to go. And they have other sports involved there, too. It's kind of a sports shrine. So.
It is. It's shrine-esque.
It is. It is a shrine. It's quite a shrine. And I did contact the Cardinals in the past, and we'll probably do it again this year. You know, Sonny Jim Bottomley was a Hall of Famer,
mm-hmm.
and I don't see his picture on the outfield wall because he went in as a Cardinal. Where is he?
A good point. Where is he?
You know, where is he? I fired off an email to the Cardinals. Said, hey, I think you need to do a little more research. Our namesake here. One of our guys. So, anyway, just a thought.
Good thought, though.
Yeah. So, anyway. Gotta love baseball.
And it's right around the corner.
Man, oh,
right
man.
Right around the corner. Spring training will start on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. That's fitting, I guess.
Sure.
Why not?
How so?
The love of baseball, man.
Okay. It's the only connection.
Yeah. Love of baseball. It's a beautiful right. thing.
Baseball is such a unique sport, first and foremost, because without the clock. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just...
Although they're trying to get a clock in baseball more and more.
No, it didn't.
Have you heard the ridiculous rule they're throwing around about starting extra innings with a runner at second base?
That's, mm-hmm. not good.
That's the dumbest thing
that was,
I've
that's
ever
the Olympic
heard.
Softball rule. That's yeah. where that first appeared.
And that's terrible.
I don't like
it. It's not going to go any further than the testing stage.
It better not.
And you know, high school baseball this year, you've got pitching restrictions. And we were talking about this the other night at Auburn with some of the ADs and some of the coaches up there. And you know, what happens, and I'm just throwing this out as a scenario, what happens if it gets to be late in the season, you've had a lot of rainouts, and then you have a lot of makeup games, and everybody's used up their innings, and you have no pitchers?
That's why God invented freshmen.
I mean, that's, you know.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
Every rule always has unintended consequences, yeah. no matter what it is, when it gets implemented.
And I bet this thing gets tweaked a little bit.
Oh, it has to get tweaked.
So, I understand they want to take care of everybody and make sure that, you know, kids aren't throwing more than they should. But
this is the first year of it. You can rest assured that next year there will be tweaks and some adjustments to the rule to get, you know, those different scenarios in play. But you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, you have to.
And this is a good place to start.
You're right. But I can see some scenarios happening going, we didn't think this was going to happen.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it'll come down to numbers. The bigger schools with the bigger programs, they won't feel that effect.
Right.
The smaller schools, though, they very well might run into a problem like that where you've got maybe a kid who hasn't pitched all year who winds up having to pitch late in the season under that circumstance.
And then you have a safety issue. You know, the unintended consequence sometimes. So... that's all.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Will be unintended consequences.
Yeah.
Always, we
may have some interesting baseball and softball teams in the area this year that could make some noise.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Gillespie softball team bringing basically everybody back. Addison Bryant coming back, which is probably the most important piece when you got the star pitcher returning. But, they'll make some noise this year.
Lincolnwood went to the sectional last year. You know, they've got a lot of their kids back you know, I think we're going to have some fun broadcasts this year, starting this spring. So,
if the weather cooperates.
Well, it never does.
It never does. You know, with the nice days we've had here in the winter.
Yes,
that's surely
yes.
going to wreak havoc in the springtime.
We're going to have 35 degree temperatures in the first part of May. Is what we're going to have. So, that corn
might be rough.
It could be a little rough. A little slow starting.
It's
what's
tough,
the temperature need to be to plant corn, Tim? What's the soil temperature? What should it be?
And you want it right around 60.
Yeah. Could be a while.
Won't be an
early crop, will
it? No, probably not. But things can change in a hurry.
Sure. That's true. With that moisture.
Do. Yeah.
That's good.
And in a two-week span, it can look a lot different.
Yeah. So
anyway, we'll find out.
We'll find out how it goes. And then, I guess the baseball season, high school baseball season, starts about a month from now, technically, as far as first games are concerned. So,
have fun with that.
Yeah. Can you pitch with gloves?
Mittens.
Yes.
Mittens.
They're scheduled as far as how many games are actually played.
Right.
It's a different story.
True. True.
Because they came out with the Major League Baseball win projections this year. And apparently the Cardinals are a 77-win club. Did you know that?
Really?
77.
Pecota. It's not incredibly reliable.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, they lowballed the Royals the 2 years they won the World Series, or the year they went to the World Series and the year they won it. So, I mean, they're not incredibly accurate.
Well, there are so many different variables through a 162-game season. You can't predict anything in baseball.
No.
It's just impossible. You could have the greatest pitcher in the history of the game and, you know, tears a fingernail off and
gets cut by a drone before a postseason
starts. Well, there
start.
You go.
Oops.
That darn drone.
It always gets in the way.
Who knew that those blades were so sharp?
Huh. They should have put a warning on there or something.
I did feel for him.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No!
I did feel for him.
Come on.
Because I could see it in his face that he knew he messed up.
Okay.
And whenever his finger is, you know, bleeding, gushing out there on the
mound.
That
sounds like something I would do, okay? and if it's stuff that I would do, professional athletes shouldn't be doing it.
It's Mike Matheny-esque.
So.
Mm-hmm. Almost cut your finger off putting a knife back in its sheath before the playoffs start.
Yeah.
So derail Rick Ankiel's career.
You can't put that entirely on.
Oh, I put it squarely on Matheny. That never, to me, Rick Ankiel never goes off the rails if Mike Matheny was behind the plate in that playoff start. That's just my opinion. I've always thought that.
You've stuck by that for years. You're right.
I don't care if Matheny is a manager at all. But as a baseball player, that dude was phenomenal. I mean, he was such a great catcher.
Yeah,
defensive, which is what I'm talking about. He never would have allowed Ankiel to get to that point to throw the six wild pitches or whatever. Because a couple of those were catchable balls that Carlos Hernandez just botched.
Were they?
Yeah, they were. That a real good catcher would have caught. And
I don't
the
know.
The different, even if it's a wild pitch, if the catcher can squeeze it and it doesn't hit the backdrop, you just feel a little better about yourself. He caught it at least. It wasn't that wild.
You can find the highlights of those pitches online.
I've seen the highlights of those pitches.
I have too.
Most of them were extremely wild. Yeah. There was a few of them that Matheny would have caught.
Dave, they were in your league just a bit outside.
Yeah. I don't know that the greatest catcher could have caught the pitches that I saw.
Not all of them.
No.
But at least a couple of them he would have squeezed. And he never would have allowed it to snowball. Like it did.
That's probably the one thing about baseball that is so great is that you can talk about the past and try to relate it to the present, and the consistency of baseball over the years is what makes the historical perspective of baseball so popular. I mean, we talk baseball around here every single day of the year.
No off season for it.
Never an off season for it. So. Gosh, we're out of time.
Out of time. We're going to have a big week of postseason basketball coming up next week. Hillsboro girls against Camp Point Central in the sectional semifinal at Waverly Monday night live at 7 here on FM 106. We'll have 3A regional play from Taylorville involving Litchfield. That'll come your way Wednesday night live at 7:30 here on WUSMI FM 106. Sports Saturday is done. For David and Terry, I am Tim. This is your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WUSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Have a great weekend, everybody.